Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FTN, presented by Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you on this Monday. A lot to get to on this show. If you're watching on Game Plus Network, a great lineup as usual on Game Plus. If you're watching our FTN YouTube page, smash that like button. You have any comments, any questions, leave them there in the YouTube section. As always, I will circle back before puck drop or tip off in the NBA. We have a lot to get to on this show. The playoff matchups are officially set. We're going to talk a lot about these matchups throughout the week. This is kind of just diving into them. We got early lines, early leans. Tino's going to drop by. We're going to talk about all of those games, look at the Super Bowl odds, and throughout the week, we will really dive deeper into some of these matchups. We'll give an early lean. Love to hear your guys' thoughts as well. We're still doing giveaways here on Mean Street, still asking for your favorite pick as well of the day. We can talk NFL throughout the week as well. We're going to have some, hopefully, some beat writers that follow these teams pretty closely drop by the show this week and dive deeper, like I said, into some of these matchups. A lot to get to here today on Mean Streets, but smash the like button, subscribe to our FTN YouTube page, head on over to ftnbets.com/free, sign up for our free newsletter, lots of exclusives, as well as a free pick every single time you get that newsletter. No excuses. It's free, right? To sign up. So why not check out ftnbets.com/free. What a crazy day in the NFL, right? Just a wild day. I think I saw the word kneel or tie on Twitter about a million times yesterday. I'm with everybody else. I wanted a tie, but I didn't want these teams to just start kneeling. I think towards the end, I kind of wanted it when, you know, there's about 3 minutes left on the clock. I was kind of feeling that way. But man, the roller coaster, the emotions that, you know, the fan bases, I'm sure, with. We saw three teams get into the playoffs last night via an overtime win, right? The San Francisco 49ers get in, Saints fans wishing that the Rams would win and that so they can get into the playoffs. We saw, obviously, that game last night was just phenomenal between the Chargers and the Raiders, both of those teams into the playoffs. The Raiders winning on the last second field goal to get in to the postseason. It was wild. A stat here that I have, I mean, also Pittsburgh, they won in overtime as well. So three teams winning in OT to make the playoffs. It's the first time multiple playoff teams won in overtime in the final week since 1993. Also the only time we saw week 18, right? 18 weeks in the NFL. It's crazy. You can't make this stuff up. And 93 was a pretty good year, right? I mean, they raised a 24th Stanley Cup banner at the Montreal Forum. You guys know I had to get that in there. But the playoff picture is set. There was some wildness yesterday. Coaches are getting fired left, right, and center. Apparently, Joe Judge is not one of them. Brian Flores is. I mean, this guy bookended 2021. He started the year with a win against Bill Belichick. He finished the year with a win against Bill Belichick, and he's done. He's canned. That's it. He's won three straight games against Bill Belichick. I think there's a disconnect between him and Tua Tagovailoa. And I think you're going to start to hear that come out throughout the week. There was some rumors and some reports before the season started or after the draft a couple years ago that Flores was really Team Herbert, not so much Tua. Of course, there was a lot of rumors linked around Tua, Deshaun Watson as well. So I know we'll see, but that guy's not going to be. I mean, Flores, he's not going to be without a job for long, right? Mark Bergevin is back in the NHL GM circle as he signed a contract. He got hired yesterday as assistant GM for the Los Angeles Kings. So I think we'll see Flores back on the sidelines coaching before you know it. Also, Matt Nagy and Mike Zimmer gone, Minnesota and Chicago as well. GMs on both sides, both teams gone as well. So a lot to get to on the show. Three games in the NHL. We got the Bruins and the Capitals, the Avalanche and the Kraken, the Rangers and the Kings. We got seven games in the association. Klay Thompson returned yesterday, 17 points in 19 minutes. He had three threes. That was plus 140 for three threes, by the way. You're never going to get that again. He had 18 shots, eight of them from beyond the arc. I mentioned the NFL playoff pitcher is set. Shout out to Cameron Smith and our guy George. Hopefully you had a great birthday weekend, dude. Your guy Cameron Smith, right? Come on, man. Like, the guy set a PGA record, did he not? The lowest score in PGA history, 34 under, tournament of champion right there. And we move forward to the Sony. We'll talk a lot of Sony and golf on Wednesday. There's a lot to get to this week, but this is really, I think, the first first official tournament, right? Your one and done start, your survivor pool start. So we'll talk a lot about strategy and DFS. And I saw a lot of winners already, like the first tournament, FTNbets.com. Always plugging it because you not only get the hockey picks, NFL picks, NBA picks, but you get the PGA picks. NASCAR's around the corner. I think esports started last night or tonight. I don't know. I think I saw Javi Perlezzo tweeting about that. So you're going to get all kinds of picks over at FTNbets.com. You can use the promo code MEANIE, save yourself a little bit of cash, but you get all the picks, you get the Discord channel, you get projections, NFL projections, and going to help you out with the NFL props as well. Jeff Ratcliffe, super sharp. And I don't know if we actually gave him the props that Jeff Ratcliffe deserves. I see people messaging about the 100 units in the NHL. We finally hit the century mark. But Jeff Ratcliffe was named the number one ranker in the game. Number one. Congrats to Jeff Ratcliffe. We didn't talk about that last week, but he is the number one ranker. And a shout out to Jake Seeley, who finished a close second to Jeff Ratcliffe. But those guys, super sharp. Jeff's going to have Jeff and Jake, myself, I'll appear here and there, and Lauren as well on Wednesdays. You can catch it all in football at Game Plus Network as well. I believe 8 Eastern on Wednesday. But as I mentioned, a lot to get to. Also, the national championship game here today, Bama and Georgia. I think Bama rolls here tonight, but we'll break that down in a little bit with Tino as well. And wanted to give some love to Rashad Penny. Just wanted to get a couple things out before I forget, because like Penny, we're not going to talk about the Seahawks anymore, but Penny, his last 5 games, 671 yards and 6 touchdowns. Amazing stuff. Seattle decided not to pick up his fifth year option, you know, when the season was starting a few months ago. And that's going to be a mistake, right? And now he's a free agent. So good for Penny. He's going to get paid. I'm interested to see where he's going to fall in terms of ADP and drafts next season. He looked really, really good again yesterday. And Cooper Kupp. A shout out to Cooper Kupp. Triple crown winner. Just the fourth wide receiver since the NFL merger in 1970 to lead the NFL in catches, touchdowns, and receiving yards. He was just a beast again last night, despite the loss in San Fran coming back. I thought Jimmy G looked pretty good yesterday as well. But I want to end this segment by also giving a lot of love to Brian Blessing. Brian Blessing unfortunately passed away over the weekend. Just a phenomenal guy, a great dude. I know the crew at Sports Anthem and Entertainment, very, very aware of him, Anthem Sports Entertainment, very aware of Brian Blessing. You know, I got the chance, I didn't meet him personally, but I had the chance to do a couple segments with him. You know, a big Vegas Golden Knights guy. You know, he's the host of Sportsbook Radio, Vegas Hockey Hotline, and also Sports Grid Radio. You can catch him on Sirius as well. And I know Cam Stewart and Gabe Morenci really, really close to Brian Blessing as well. I mean, he used to come on the show all the time at, you know, at Fantasy Sports Network when I worked there. He was great, so insightful, just seemed like such a nice, easygoing guy, would give you the time of the day all the time. Anytime there was like maybe a last minute scratch in terms of like guests, you could call Brian and he was willing to jump on and give you the time of the day. And like I said, I had an opportunity to talk with him a couple times about the Golden Knights. I remember the first time Vegas was kind of thought of as a team and they're going through the expansion draft. I remember doing a segment with him and Gabe Morenci talking about some of the picks, and man, what a sharp guy and what an awesome dude. So thoughts to the Brian Blessing family and to everybody who knew him. And yeah, you were a good one, dude. Rest in peace, Brian. We'll be back here on Game Plus Network. You're watching Game Plus Network here. Chris Meany with you. Actually, this is Mean Streets on Game Plus Network, but you are watching Game Plus Network, right? Yes, why not? You should be, as I mentioned all the time, a great, great lineup over there. But this is a show called Mean Streets, powered by FTN, presented by Game Plus Network. Dude, I don't know about you, as we bring in Tino Rodriguez, producer of the show. I was up pretty late last night, and I am on a time zone that's just completely made up in the Atlantic. I am ahead of the Eastern time zone. And that game, it ended really late, and I was just like a super high and giving boards to you and George and just going over all the the matchups and stuff. But man, a crazy Monday here today. A lot to talk about. Coaches getting fired left, right, and center. I know we have to talk about the Giants. We won't spend too much time on your New York Football Giants, but as of now, Joe Judge still has a job, correct? This is something that is true.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not gonna spend much time with the Giants. They're incompetent. It's sad. Gettleman retired. What a surprise. He steps down, so fans don't even get that taste, right?
Retired, okay.
Retired, not fired. And it seems like Judge is coming back, but this is continued because they're going to hire another GM, and apparently it might be the GM's discretion, but that's if they don't hire within, which at this rate, them being the Giants, they will. I do want to talk about that game because I thought it was – the funniest part to me is that I was with I was with my girlfriend and her family, and they, none of them watch football, and I'm getting all of them on their couches to lock into this game and explain to them that, like, we're rooting for a tie. And they're like, why are we rooting for a tie? I was like, we don't want a tie, but, like, it would just be pandemonium if there was a tie. And I was speaking on how ties are super uncommon, but how those two games, you mentioned how many games went to overtime, and the Steelers-Ravens game almost ended up in a tie. You know, if say there's a missed field goal, a botched snap, there was 2 minutes left, that could end in a tie. Steelers would have two ties on the season. I was like, it's very possible. And then all of a sudden, I mean, we didn't think we were going to get it with the Chargers-Raiders. And I think the thing that stinks about the whole game is that Justin Herbert's going to kind of get forgotten about here towards the tail end of the season. And the fact that he was able to lead them back, that – and Brandon Staley's getting a lot of heat. That 19 plays he had, 19-play drive.
Like all throws.
Was insane. It was insane. What, fourth down conversions? I mean, unreal, man. Unreal.
Fourth and 21 from fourth like the and 23, and he scores a touchdown. Yep. Yeah, that game last night was phenomenal. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic. I thought it was great. I wanted a tie. I get it. I know a lot of people are pretty sour. I saw a lot of like Jags plus tie bets out there. I across the board, I saw some crazy bets. And you guys all wanted a tie, but come on, man. I didn't want both teams to kneel. I thought when it got to overtime, I thought honestly when the Raiders got the ball back after the Chargers tied it up in overtime with that field goal, I thought that they were just going to play conservative, run the ball, but the Chargers couldn't stop the run. Like, surprise, surprise. All year long, this team couldn't stop the run. I do want to talk about what everybody is talking about here today with Staley. Like, we'll get into the playoff matchups, the Super Bowl odds. We'll get into all that stuff. We got a week to talk about it. We're definitely going to bring it up on this show. I want to, like, what's your thoughts on the whole timeout thing? And I got thoughts. I'll share them. But what did you make of Staley last night and with that timeout and just the way that game ended?
So I knew we had a schedule here, and I was actually going to ask you if you didn't, and I knew this would take us off track because I saw you tweeting yesterday, and I was like, I'm saving this for the show because I actually, and in defense of Jeff Feinberg, and I know he's trying to be the realist here and protect himself as a Chargers fan, but I think he has a point. Like, I understand. And if you read the lips and, like, look at how the actions went about, what Derek Carr said, okay, yes, it seems like they would have taken the timeout. They wouldn't have need. They could have ran the ball and taken the time down. But it still would have brought a fourth down, and I still think there would have been a decision to be made on whether or not they're going to kick a field goal. With Carlson's leg, it ended up being, 47 yards? They gained about 5 or 6, so you're looking at, like, a 53 to 54 yarder. I think capable for the guy. I think they still would have kicked a field goal. I think the more I look at it, I understand that maybe it doesn't happen if the timeout isn't there, but just look at all the scenarios around it. The Raiders would have had to play the Chiefs, and it's just unlikely to me that they're going to not take a shot at the win with their automatic kicker, who was like 8 for 8 in game-winning field goal situations from like over 40 yards or so, or 45 yards. Like, it just, the more I thought about it, they could say it, and I guess that's where everything is getting kind of, you know, misconceived. I just think they still would have kicked a field goal on fourth down. I don't know. I know the wording say different from Derek Carr. It's just, I don't know. I'm kind of having a hard time believing it is all.
Yeah, I have. The more I thought about it too, I don't think the timeout was an awful call. But like Staley, when he talked about it after, when he was asked about why he called the timeout, he said that he thought that they were going to run the ball and that they had the wrong personnel in there. But yet he took out a linebacker in Kenneth Murray and put a safety in. They were running the ball on you the entire overtime, dude. Like, they had just already had two strong runs before that play. And, like, clearly they were going to run the football again. Like, he was in the shotgun. They weren't going to kneel. I get all that. They weren't going to kneel. There was, like, 4 seconds left on the clock. It looked like, actually, that the Raiders may have taken a delay game penalty. I didn't even know if they were going to get that play off. Watching the game, I thought to myself, when the timeout happened, I was like, wow, that is pretty interesting that he did call a timeout. Even though there was only 4 seconds left, maybe not a big deal. But again, the personnel that he threw out there, taking the linebacker, and the Chargers Nation, when I tweeted that, Chargers Nation coming at me about about Murray being a brutal defensive. Okay, fine. I don't watch every Chargers game. Maybe he is a liability. But to put the safety in was a little puzzling on that play. But to hear Derek Carr talk about it and to hear the Raiders coaching staff talk about that they were considering just kneeling and just finishing that game, and that the timeout did change the mentality. Maybe Derek Carr is just talking crap. Maybe he's not even being truthful there, right? But you could see his expression when that timeout was called. He went over to that to the sidelines. He looked agitated. He looked like, let's go. If we were maybe thinking about having a tie here, now we're not. Now it's over. But also, you bring up a good point. To avoid the Chiefs is significant. Also, to knock out your division rivals, also pretty significant, right?
I don't know why, and that was the underlining thing too. It's like, why would you willingly let your division rival get into the playoffs? What was going to be the backdoor handshake there, right? What were we not going to see if they did tie and they ended up like agreeing to let the Chiefs go in, right? There had to have been some sort of agreement, like an unspoken agreement that if you know one of these teams were in the situation and they decided to concede, maybe they give them a nice little playoff bonus. I don't know, but yeah, I don't know. I know it's super controversial, but I do think it's right. And I saw Elliot tweeting about it too, that it shouldn't take over the beauty of that game. Like, that was football. That was early playoff football. In division rival. It's everything you wanted. And the fact that the tie was looming, and it's kind of what we were rooting for with the Jags win, that we got everything we could have wanted, but the tie, right? So, like, I'm still going to be happy about it. Like, it was phenomenal. We saw Herbert in the bright lights, like, show up. The fourth down conversions were insane. Yeah, it was great. Good for the Raiders, man. I'm wearing the sweatshirt today, and I talked about it with you when we were like, oh, like, who amongst this mess in the AFC could get in? No one thought the Raiders were going to do it. And I mean, maybe it's the year of Madden, right? Maybe they win one. Maybe not only are they happy to be in there, right? If they play the Chiefs first round, we're not looking at this the same way. But I mean, we're going to get into the matchups here. They move up to the 5 seed. They're not the 7. They're the 5 seed in the AFC now. Pretty crazy.
I mean, what were – absolutely. You know, we've talked about them being kind of like a quote-unquote team of destiny, the adversity that they have faced this year, you know, with Gruden and Ruggs and losing Waller and, you know, other defensive backs going through some off-field issues, to say the least, right? But this is a team that, I mean, 4 straight wins here by 3 points or fewer. I think that is an NFL record again in the playoffs. So don't quote me on that. I can get back after the break and really kind of solidify that stat. But week 15, a 2-point win against Cleveland, against Denver. I'm already wrong. A 4-point win. And then the Colts, a 3-point win. And then obviously yesterday, the 3-point win as well. But credit to Herbert. Credit to everyone. I mean, that was a phenomenal game, right? And then Carr, like, they start that final drive before overtime happened with Mariota, and then they do like a nice run, and then they get too cute, I think, with Eckler, and then they lose yardage, and then Carr gets on there, and then he fumbles, and I was like, the Chargers didn't recover that ball. I thought was crazy as well. It was just a lot of moving pieces yesterday. It was a crazy day in the NFL, and if you would have told me before the season started that the Raiders and the Bengals would get in, like, what were the odds that these two teams would play each other as well? Brennan chimes in, Chargers lost it when they went for it on fourth. That's another thing, right? That, like, that will get glossed over. And Staley has been aggressive, and I like the new blood that the Chargers have in coaching staff. But when we brought in Feinberg yesterday, I even gave him a follow-up question on that. And the coaching decisions that he has made, that's not even the first time or the second time that Staley has gone for it on around his own 20 and failed. Like, I'm fine, we're going for it, but the play call was pathetic. Yeah. To run it up the gut with Austin Eckler, I mean, it's some of these coaches, it's nice to have a new, like I said, a new fresh mind in there going for it, being very analytical and aggressive. I'm all about it. It worked for the most of the year. But that was a moment, I thought, in the game where it was like, I mean, I have a buddy who's a Raiders fan. He texts me. He's just like, thank you. Unbelievable. Awesome. Let's get into the playoff pitchers. Let's start with the AFC, because you're right. It started yesterday with a Jags win. Not only just a win, like, they crushed the Colts yesterday. Jonathan Taylor couldn't get anything going on the ground. Carson Wentz, a couple turnovers. And I do feel for Carson Wentz. It's going to be the talk on the entire offseason is going to be Carson Wentz. And clearly that trade with the Eagles saving like $100 million in like salary cap over the next few years and getting a first round pick, you know, starting the season with Miami's first round pick and the Colts first round pick and neither of these teams making the playoffs and the Eagles getting in. I mean, Carson Wentz is really going to hear it. And I do feel for him, man. I really do. I have a soft spot for Wentz, but they're out. And I thought that that was, despite them not winning in Jacksonville since 2014, I still think that that was an unbelievable, outcome yesterday. So the Titans get the first round bye, and they almost blew it last night as well. It does sound like Derrick Henry will be good to go, and clearly they're going to have the bye here, so that's going to be good news for him. The Steelers do get in with that win in overtime, and they got to face the Chiefs. It's the most lopsided game of this weekend. I believe Kansas City 13-point favorites, and they crushed them a couple weeks ago. You got the Pats and the Bills. We wanted this one, right? Buffalo got by the Jets, and New England lost, as we talked about off the top of the show, to Brian Flores and Miami, and Flores is out. And then we have this 5-4 matchup, which I think will be really intriguing as well. What's your favorite matchup on the board here? We'll get into them individually, but what's your favorite one on the board?
I mean, it's got to be Patriots-Bills, right? It has to be. Give me it a third time. And the good thing is both these teams split. I think that's what I like the most. Neither team has, you know, the two-game advantage, because then it's hard to beat a team three times. It's kind of anyone's game, and both away teams have won in this matchup. So it's like, it's super interesting. The more I look at it, though, I'm just trying to figure out a way that I don't see the Bengals in the AFC Championship game. And I don't see it. It's weird. I remember we were looking at a slide earlier, and it was like Super Bowl odds, and I think they were like 36-1 or something crazy. And look, I still stand by it. Everyone's saying it's the Titans conference to lose, and I just don't buy it. I don't buy it. Like, they are the one seed, and that's great. The Bengals should take care of business against the Raiders. It's been fun. And you know what? Credit to the Raiders. You touched on it. They beat the teams in front of them. They beat the Colts. The Colts had the easy way out. They had the Jags. It doesn't get – unless you play the Giants, it doesn't get easier than that. And, you know, give the Jags credit. They did what they did earlier this season to Josh Allen. They were phenomenal defensively at home. I mean, they pretty much held them without a touchdown. They got that Michael Pittman touchdown late. But the Raiders beat the teams in front of them. I just don't see them beating the Bengals. The offense is just so good for Cincinnati. And I think Cincinnati actually matches up pretty well against the Titans. But I don't know, man. You got to go Bills-Patriots. And then I think the winner out of that, you know, gives us a really good matchup against the Chiefs. But we'll get into individual matchups. I do think Big Ben is being disrespected. I'm just saying. I'm not saying that the Steelers are going to win. I know they just blew out the Steelers. The Chiefs blew out the Steelers like 3 weeks ago. But 13 points? It's a playoff game.
Yeah, I know. I actually have the lean to the Steelers as well. It's tough to blow out a team, you know, twice in, what, a four-week span? It's tough, man. Like, you make adjustments. Like, things happen. The Chiefs haven't really covered all year. We've talked about that all year long, that they're not a team that covers. No. You know, good on Big Ben. I thought he was, he orchestrated that drive at the end of the game to give them the lead. And then, you know, he got it done in the overtime as well. He threw the ball 46 times a couple weeks ago and only had 123 passing yards. Like, that's why I'm just like, yeah, okay, all right, I understand. This was the stat that I wanted to bring up earlier. It's from Stats by Stats on Twitter. Last four games for the Raiders, 1-2, 4-3, and 3. They're the first team in NFL history to end the regular season with four straight wins by four or fewer points. There's a lot of firsts, you know, with the 18 weeks this year and things like that. But let's throw up the NFC playoff pitcher too, and then we'll break and we'll get back in here. So the Packers do get the first round bye despite the loss yesterday to Detroit. And the Eagles get that seventh seed. They get Tampa Bay here. These two teams played earlier in the year. The Bucs really steamrolled them. You know, if you look at the box score, you see that the Eagles and that Bucs game was a one-score game. It was pretty tight, but Philly came back like garbage time. That's at the moment where everyone was talking about Jalen Hurts just being a garbage time fourth quarter quarterback. But these two teams are very different since they played earlier in the season. This one, to me, is going to be phenomenal. Dallas and San Fran, I already have a bet in the bet tracker. San Fran plus 3.5. You can get that at BetMGM. I don't know if that's still available. Most spots have 3. I think it's a really bad matchup for Dallas. And then Arizona and LA as well. The third time these two teams will play each other. You remember Arizona smacked them earlier in the season. What do you think about these matchups, man? I think this is completely wide open.
So I saw Joseph's comment, underdog moneyline season, and this is what I was going to tell you. The only team I could like somehow convince myself not to bet in a straight underdog moneyline parlay is the Eagles. But tell me to not bet all those NFC wildcard teams. Just try to convince me, because I'm not convinced. I'm taking the Cardinals over the Rams. I'm taking the 49ers over the Cowboys. It's like the Eagles.
Straight up? You were taking the Cardinals straight up against the Rams?
Yes. Interesting. They're on the road. It's genius. They did it again. They just lost at home against the Seahawks. They're a better team on the road.
Did you hear Matthew Stafford's comments yesterday about how it was I'm paraphrasing, but it was a crazy environment. I forget the word that he used. I'll find it. Dude, it was a home game. I mean, San Fran, the fan base took over, but he talked about how it was like just a it was a wild environment. It was tough to like towards the end of that game. And in overtime, it was tough for him to, you know, hear. And it was super loud there. And that is, when the Chargers play those home games and the Rams play there, you know, those fan bases, man, they could overtake. I'm not saying Arizona will overtake, but like if they played at home against, I don't know, a good 10 or 12 teams, Tino, like they would be outnumbered on the fan base. Yeah. Tampa's battered, right?
Yep.
I be careful what you wish for. Somebody asked me, last night, if I was, a little nervous. Of course, I don't expect the Eagles to beat the Bucs, but that was the matchup I wanted. And you and I have been talking about that. That's the matchup that's probably best suited for Philadelphia.
Yeah, and it's also one of those things. Philly's so good against with running the ball, and everyone thinks, Tampa's so great at stopping the run. But we've talked about this 1,000 times this season. Teams just tend to not run against them. Also, Brandon, I'm looking past your Dallas bias of you telling me that San Francisco is a bad bet. I know you have money on the Cowboys. But San Francisco +3.5. Again, another team better on the road. It's perfect. It's perfect for them. It's unreal. Also, I did think it was interesting because, and shout out to Jills, he's in the chat. We did talk about this. Three NFC West teams did make the playoffs. We thought that division was super loaded.
We did.
To begin the year, and they ended up doing it, which is, a nice little storyline there.
We talked about four. I know that's super tough, but crazy. We did. It's crazy because they all play each other and beat up on each other. But, I mean, the Seahawks without Russell Wilson for a little bit certainly spiraled down, like at that moment when, Geno had to step in. And then Russ came back, and he clearly wasn't 100%. But, yeah, I mean, best division in football. Right. I mean, we talked about that at the start of the season, and yeah, three teams get in. So let's break and we'll bring up the odds and kind of roll through this too. We'll give our early leans, but we will talk a lot of football. GW, yeah, hang it out. I think the guy hit 1,000 touchdowns yesterday, had a great finish to week 18, a couple nice long shots. And we probably got to get him on the show. Maybe on a Friday we can get some early leans from him as well, because we will have some Saturday football, some Sunday football, and some Monday football. More football here on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. Watching Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany, Antino Rodriguez. I know you've taken a couple shots at Doug Peterson and the Eagles last week, so this is the only time I'm going to say this to you. And I know that you don't want to talk about the Giants, but Joe Judge yesterday, with that quarterback sneak on not only the third, but the second down and the third from what? Their own five? Not a draw, a sneak from like a kneel formation. And this is the same coach who criticized Doug Peterson for not giving 100%. Just wanted to get that off my chest. That's
please,
it.
Please. Hey.
That's it. No more. No more. I know you're frustrated. It's not a shot at you. It was just, right? This is like a little mind-boggling.
Well, I just want you to know that, and me and Brendan, I work with Brendan Deeg. Shout out to Touchdown Town. He was on fire. He got me some profit and salvaged my Sunday.
Yes, we should give him some love as well.
A Laquan Treadwell really touchdown good. At over 4-1. It was money. He might have got it way better. I think it was over 4.5-1 for him. But he just reached out to my DMs as we were in the green room and said, hey, just want to check on your mental well-being after Judge, after the news. Check on your friends. It's important, as it's Black Monday, check on your friends. Do the right thing. If you know they're dealing with a lot, like Jeff Feinberg, don't give him such a hard time on the Staley call. Just make sure he's okay, all right? Just reach out. Lend a hand.
Lend a hand, absolutely. Yeah, dude, I'm always thinking about you when something crazy happens with the Giants or the Nets. Yeah, lend a hand, reach out to your friends. Yeah, G-Dub hit a lot. I think he was on the Josh Palmer. I was on Palmer as well at 13-1. Good old Canadian boy, we got that one. That was a pretty good payout for me and for Jills and for people following Jills over at ftmbets.com. A lot of touchdown calls for him last night. He says, I'm a Cowboys fan and I want them to win for betting purposes. You'll make money on taking all dogs money lines if you go 3 for 3, massive profit. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, if you just bet all dogs and you get one of those, even if you go 3, sure, massive profit, you get 2, right? I'm not betting Steelers, though. You can't tell me to bet the Steelers, dude. It ain't happening. Let's maybe start with that one. I think the NFC matchups are a little bit more entertaining, but here we go. We got Sunday Night Football here, 8:15 Eastern. So the Steelers get in as the 7th seed. I'm shocked that they got in, honestly. I am super shocked that this team got in. All the right pieces. Certainly the Colts losing opened up the door for them and for the Ravens to get in, and also potentially the Chargers. But 9-7-1, KC 12-5. As we talked about, these two teams played not that long ago. It was week 16 in Kansas City. It was a 36-10 final. What I've noticed from the Steelers here all season long, especially lately, is this team really struggles in the first half. I think we've talked about it on this show. They had gone 6 straight games without a touchdown in the first quarter. They just really starting games slow, and Big Ben has had to throw. I do want to give a lot of love to Najee Harris as a rookie, the most touches in the NFL. Pretty impressive. Didn't have a fumble this year as well behind a really weak offensive line. I thought he looked pretty good, man, despite, you know, Big Ben's arm and that offensive line. But they're in a tough spot here against Kansas City, as you see the money line stuff here. If you wanted to bet Pittsburgh plus 475, that would be a big payout, G-Dub. I don't think you're going to do it, though. I don't think you're going to bet them on the money line. You may. Over under 47.5. But, man, the Chiefs don't cover. Like, we'll get into this throughout the week. I'll dive into the last 2 years, maybe year and a half. Like, this isn't a team that typically covers these massive spreads. And I think we both have a lean to the Steelers covering here.
Yeah, I wanted to look up a funky statistic for us. I was doing my own homework here. I'm on Pro Football Reference. And in Big Ben's career, in every first playoff game he's played, he's only had one instance where he's lost a game by 13 points. He's never lost by more, only 13 points. And it was at home against the Baltimore Ravens, 30-17. Only time it's happened. Other than that, he lost his last playoff game against the Cleveland Browns by 11. Look, ridiculous stat. Honestly, led me nowhere. I was just trying to see how he's done coming out and opening up the playoffs as a whole. I think he has somewhere close to a 500 record overall. I mean, the guy's made the playoffs, you know, almost every year since 2004. So I'd imagine it's eventually going to even out. 13's a lot for a team that doesn't cover. Yes. And it's like you said, it's hard to beat a team that bad twice. I will say this, though. The Chiefs did that without Travis Kelce, who's back and looks about, you know, better than ever. Tyreek Hill is banged up too. I think it's a hamstring. I'm not 100% sure, but I watched the game. He was like galloping on the field. I mean, he was wincing in pain. They don't have a bye. I'm sure they wanted that bye. 13 points is just a lot. It's just ridiculous. I mean, plus 400 or what is it, 425 on a team in the playoffs is just so enticing. So I don't blame someone trying to bet the Steelers money line. And like Joe said, if that's one of your, you know, 3 losses and you go 3 for 3, then whatever, it's the one with the highest upside, right? So
right.
But I think plus 13 is a safe bet, man. You know, proven track record with the Steelers in the playoffs, they're relatively healthy. And you know, shout out to TJ Watt, he didn't break the record.
Oh, yeah.
Still owned by Michael Strahan, but he tied it. So, you know, they have a pass rush, they got some guys there that, you know, they can keep it close. That's all I'll say.
They have playmakers. We'll say that. They have playmakers. Pat Freiermuth obviously is Ben's guy. We saw it yesterday, you know, in the fourth quarter on that final drive to take the lead. And then in overtime too, like when it was like third and, you know, they needed a play, like he went to Freiermuth and he had a couple nice catches. But yeah, Claypool is a playmaker. Deontay Johnson's a playmaker. Najee is good too. Like, it's tough. We're not sitting here saying that they're going to win. I don't expect them to win, but right now I do have the lean towards them covering. Yeah, the Chiefs 8-9. Against the spread so far.
You want to be a nightmare scenario? The one time when the Texans, what is this, 2 years ago, the Texans took like a 21-point lead in the first half against the Chiefs on the road. What if the Steelers come out hot? Everyone who has a plus 13 is like, let's go. And then the Chiefs just go score 40 on the answer. That would make sense. I see that happening more than just a straight blowout. But all right, on to the next one.
Let's rapid fire through this. We're going a little bit longer here, of course. So this one, Saturday night. We got what we wanted, right? Pats and Bills. This one in Buffalo. I'm curious. Obviously, we're going to have to keep an eye on the weather. The Bills here are 4.5-point favorites. The total here at 43.5 is one of the lowest. I think, in fact, it is the lowest here on the board. So third matchup between these two teams. We know that New England went into Buffalo. They threw the ball three times, completed two passes, and beat Buffalo. The Bills had their way with New England, I thought, in New England and in Foxborough. This is going to be a good one. This is one that I feel I'm leaning New England here on the spread, at least. I think the Bills will win this game, Tino, but this does have like field goal written all over it.
4.5 points is just too many points. Like that's the thing. Like it's just a field goal game, and if it's not, I think it'll be like a backdoor touchdown from the Bills that gets the cover for them. But the only thing that worries me, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And we were crowning the Patriots when they won all those games in a row, and they ended the year losing three of the last four. Whereas the Bills won four in a row. Now, granted, the Bills faced the Panthers, the Falcons, and the Jets three of those games other than the Patriots, so I'm not going to go crazy about it. And they didn't necessarily blow out the Falcons and Jets at home, right? I mean, those teams hung around. So, yeah, I mean, I'm taking the Patriots. I'm taking the Patriots plus 4.5. I still kind of ride with the fact. I don't think it's blind betting. It's just if you take these underdogs money line, it can be profitable. Even if you hit two of them. If you hit two of them and they're the big dogs, like say the Eagles pull it out, I mean, we're talking about profit. So, but I love the points. I love the points right now. 4.5 and what should be a field goal game.
Let's do this one quick time too. Let's just bring it up. Again, we'll talk about this throughout the week, guys. I just wanted to, present the odds to you and give our early leans here. So Saturday afternoon, Las Vegas and Cincinnati. We kind of already touched on this one, but to me, I agree with you. I like Cincinnati. I mean, across the board, you talk about some of the weapons that they have. They're super explosive. Joe Burrow had played unbelievable down the stretch. Running back and Mixon over 1,000 yards, and Higgins and Chase over 1,000 yards. Tyler Boyd is super underrated inside the slot. I think, a lot to deal with this Cincinnati team. But to me, honestly, 6 points does seem like a lot as well. I think this Raiders team just finds a way to hang around with squads. They do have a decent pass rush. They haven't given up too many explosive plays. I like the Bengals here to win this game, but I do feel like 6 points, is quite a bit, man.
Well, and these teams faced off, right? And if you look at the box score, just look at what the score was, 32-13, you're like, oh my God, a blowout. But it was actually very close going into the fourth. It was 13-6, right? And so this was similar to last night's game with the Chargers. Everyone was highlighting Derek Carr's career low and why he couldn't, why they got handled by the Chargers the last time out. So that was him at his worst. I mean, he only has to do the bare minimum over that, and they're probably going to hang around even more here. I mean, he had a very uncharacteristic game here. 215-yard passing, a touchdown, an interception. They really didn't get anything going. Foster Moreau had their only touchdown. Like, just not really what the Raiders are right now. Josh Jacobs only 9 carries for 37 yards. I mean, I think they can hang around and cover the 6. I still like the Bengals because the Bengals pulled away in the fourth, and that's where you're going to win and lose playoff games. So, and that game was on the road. So I like the Bengals. 6 points is a lot. That's the one where I'm kind of teetering on, but I'll stick to my guns and say we're taking all road dogs here. Let's do it.
A buddy of mine is a Bengals fan. He said that he found some stat. It's like their last playoff win was like, I think like 90. He said that he hasn't been able to send a text message. Like, you couldn't send a text message the last time that they won a playoff game. God. He's just talking about Andy Dalton and like under the bright lights and all those tough losses that they have had. But it's not Dalton now. It's not Dalton. You got yourself a pretty good quarterback. Let's break and come back and we'll talk NFC playoff matchups. Taking a look at the NFC playoff matchups, I think a few more intriguing matchups, in my opinion, here. Whatever you got, roll through it, and we'll just rapid fire through this. Again, we'll talk a lot about this throughout the entire week. So the Birds and the Bucks. I saw the comment there, Craig Smith. I'm nervous as well, of course. Like, it's an uneasy feeling anytime you have to go against Tom Brady, Super Bowl champs here. 9-point favorites. This is, I think, a lot as well. This Philly team has run the football quite well. And what you said, Tino, it's, you have the narrative that you can't run on this team, but 12th in rush DVOA according to Football Outsiders. The Saints number one, and this is the Eagles team that had ran all over the Saints twice over the past couple of years. Let's continue to roll through. What do you got for the next slide here? Yeah, this one as well. Like, this is going to be another good one, a division matchup here. 4.5 does seem strong. I mean, I'm with you on Arizona. I don't know if I can back them winning this football game, but this is going to be a really, really good one. It does seem like a field goal written all over, just like San Fran and LA playing yesterday. We got that plus 4.5 for San Fran. And then This is another good one. My goodness. The Cowboys here, 3-point favorites. My feeling here with that, why I think it's a bad matchup. And I you know, I get it, Gildan. Like, I hope that you know what? I don't root for anybody to lose your ticket. As much as it would crush me to see the Cowboys win the Super Bowl, I'd be happy for you. But man, the way that Arizona went into Dallas a couple weeks ago and ran all over them, this Niners team, they are good, real good at running the football, whether it's Elijah Mitchell, whether it's Deebo Samuel out of the backfield, Ayuk with end arounds, bringing Hasty here and there. I think this is a bad matchup for Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to touch on two things really quick. One, yes, Boomer Esiason was the quarterback the last time the Bengals won a playoff game. It's 1990. Amongst all three of these games, yeah, very interesting. They lost. They've made the playoffs a bunch and have just lost a lot. It's crazy. I didn't even realize they made the playoffs so many times with Andy Dalton.
Oh, yeah. They were great, man. No, they just never won.
Losing to the Jets and just, I mean,
Texans,
rabbit hole. Yeah. Not the NFC playoffs. I know. I knew it would get a sidetrack. But, yeah, I just love it. I love San Francisco. I think they're a sneaky team. And it's crazy that that game could have tied. Also, Cooper Kupp did not break history, but his over and receiving did hit for us. I still, you know, I know we got to ride with the Eagles. I still think that's the only one. I mean, if you have, I know the Bucks are disheveled, but they just don't lose at home. That's the thing. That's the only thing. Like, and it's Tom Brady. So even if they go down, I mean, we're going to need something big out of Darius Slay, right? That's probably what we're looking at. He's going to have to slow down Mike Evans. I think that's where you wouldn't lose this matchup.
The issue is going to be Gronk. I think Slay can do Gronk a good job on Mike Evans, but the Eagles have struggled against tight ends all year. Like, Gronk is going to be a problem.
Well, you got Cameron Brake too. They're going to have to use all their tight ends too. That's the thing. You got to guard three of them. Now OJ Howard still makes an appearance, so
it is tough. We'll keep an eye on the Bucks. They got a lot of injuries happening right now. Al D has a great prop. We'll talk Bama and Georgia at the very end. I got some NHL picks here next on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network. Only three games on the NHL today, so not a lot of action, but I do have some props and some picks here for you to share. And I'm going to lead with Nathan McKinnon, the old Cole Harbour, Nova Scotia guy who is absolutely on a heater. This guy is on a run. 3.5 shots does seem like a lot. Over 1.5 points here is only -120 over at DraftKings. The 3.5 shots you can get at Caesars at -149. He has 20 shots in his last two games. 20 shots in his last two games. He put 12 pucks on net in his last game against the Leafs. 28 shots in his last four games in a league high. 43 shot attempts over that span since January 1st. He has 9 points over his last four games. So I think we ride one of the hottest players going in the NHL. If you wanted to get in on Mikko Rantanen, I like him as well at +130 to have a 2-point night. He has 7 points in his last two games and 10 points in his last four. So the duo have combined for 19 points over their last four games. And they get a matchup here against the Seattle Kraken, who have been stingy defensively, but they're not getting the goaltending. I know this is a little bit of a revenge spot for Philip Grubauer. And we saw Marc-Andre Fleury have the revenge game last week in Vegas against the Golden Knights. But this Avs offense is just too powerful and they're on a heater right now. So I'm riding with McKinnon at 4 shots and 2 points. We have a couple more shot props here to attack. As you see, McKinnon is on the board. How about David Pastrnak, the Mean Streets Pasta, led by our guy George Z? Absolutely, right? I mean, he went through a bit of a cold streak, right? We were considering unders on David Pastrnak, but now he's not as big of a heater as McKinnon, but he's on one. 13 shots in his last two games, got 3 goals over his last 3 contests, a matchup here against the Washington Capitals. I also like Brad Marchand as well, not on the board, but I think both of these guys hit their shot props. For, you know, Pastrnak and Ovechkin and other guys, like, you know, you could ask anyone in the NHL and they'll tell you, like, I mean, NHL goal scorers are streaky, right? They're not going to score every single night. Pastrnak, I think you could take him at +140 for a goal here today as well. You got Evgeny Kuznetsov at 2.5 shots, Adrian Kempe at 2.5, and Mika Zibanejad at 2.5. Zibanejad has been heating up. He's cleared 2.5 shots in 6 of his past 8 games. He also has 7 goals and 11 points over that span. Kempe is just a guy that I've been taking, you know, recently as like the one Kings forward. It used to be Dustin Brown to start the season. It's been Kempe. He's cleared in 8 of his past 11 games. Kuznetsov is not a guy that I really think about. He's a pass first guy, but he's cleared in 6 of his past 7 games. And the Capitals are just depleted up front. So he's been getting a little bit more ice time and he's been shooting the puck a little bit more as well. It's not all Ovechkin. It's been Kuznetsov. I think John Carlson is in play as well. But those are my 5 led by Nathan McKinnon. I do think the Avs win on the puck line. We have him in the bet tracker at -140. I think you can still get them at minus 160. And I do think the Bruins beat the Capitals tonight. One more segment. We'll bring in Tino. We'll talk tonight. Bama and Georgia here next on Mean Streets. The national championship is tonight. Georgia, 3-point favorites against Bama. The total is at 51.5. If you're backing Bama, plus 125 on the money line. Georgia, minus 135. We got a couple people chiming in with some bets. You can bring up that Al D one if you want to give that one. I think that's a pretty good one. You know, I think Georgia's the better, you know, team, completed team, better defense. But, man, I mean, Young is a heck of a quarterback here today, and I think he's going to be the difference. I'm on Bama, man. What do you think?
Yeah, anytime you can get Alabama as an underdog, I think you just take them. Don't overthink it, especially when they've proven to beat them. But I do like what Brandon came in and talked about, because I think a lot of people are overlooking it. Not the Georgia part, but the under with the locking.
The under?
Yeah, SEC teams, I think it's interesting. Something that won't add up to me. I was looking into it, and Georgia's defense did not have a sack on Bryce Young at all last game, which is kind of why I do think they're going to turn up the pressure a little bit, and I'm kind of inching towards his rushing touchdown prop at plus 300. The defensive touchdown for Georgia, the prop of their anytime score is plus 350. So I'm getting a quarterback at the same odds as a defense, and he scored a rushing touchdown against him the last game. I think that's knowing value. Plus, there's about a handful of guys at, like, minus 150. So that's something in itself. But I really like the under in SEC games. I think it gets overlooked. I think it's a championship game. The defense will turn it up. Georgia gave up 41 points. That is by far, I think, the most they've given up all season long. Yeah, it's not even close. I think they're going to come out and try to prove something. It's going to be hard, though, because you got to beat Nick Saban. And he just doesn't know how to lose national championship games. And, you know, Georgia was this close, right? Georgia was this close, and they couldn't pull it off in overtime when Tua was able to pull it out and salvage Jalen Hurts in that championship. So look at where they are now.
I know, like, looking at Georgia, I think, you know, their defense is really good. I think maybe the weakness is, like, that they – like through the air, right? I mean, they only face one team inside the top 50 in passing, and that was Bama. And we saw 420 passing yards from Bryce Young, right? The Heisman Trophy winner. I think there's some O-line concerns potentially, but I do think that he is going to be the difference here. I do have a same game parlay on the way out here. I thought I had it live. Yeah, so Bama to win. Brian Robinson Jr. to score a touchdown, over 71.5 rushing yards. I got Bennett over 1.5 passing touchdowns and over 247 passing yards as well. I think, you know, that number is a little bit too low. So that's kind of what I'm feeling for a same game parlay. But I do like the under. I think the under
and
is
Bryce Young, is Bryce bet. Young plus money over 2.5 passing touchdowns. I know it doesn't really go with the over narrative, the under narrative, but I guess if Alabama handles Georgia, he can do it. 3 touchdowns the last time he played him. He's had over 5 like 3 times this season. The guy can toss the rock. So good bet. Good bet.
We got to get out of here. Thanks for taking the time to hang out, guys. We'll dive a little bit deeper into the NFL games. Leave your best bet in the YouTube section. Head on over to FTN Network and subscribe to our YouTube page. From Tino Rodriguez, myself, Chris Meany, have a good one. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers.